שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the fourth day, Yud Gimel Be'adar Beis, Parashas Tzav, Tavshin Ayin Vav, the evening of the first day, Tuesday, 22 March 2016, webcasting from the Eye of the Storm. So as I said the last time, we must be thankful that our governments and the security forces, the IDF, GSS, police, border guard, have so hamstrung the belligerent Muslims here, they are reduced to these knife attacks and vehicular homicide. Think of it, it's been a while since we suffered the kind of satanic orgy of blood Brussels was blasted with today at the airport arrivals hall and in a metro station. 34 dead at least, who knows how many wounded. The whole city was paralyzed again, as after the Muslim massacre in Paris, when they were hunting for the cell of angels from hell, agents of the shaitan, as the illiterate Arabs mispronounce the Hebrew word Satan. This is a common phenomenon, you know, in Arabic. The rabbi Ibn Ezra in the 12th century Spain, when Islam still ruled most of it, said Arabic was like a desert Hebrew spoken by illiterate nomads. The Arabs are the offspring of Ishmael, who went to live in the desert with his bow and arrow and sired millennia of outlaw highwaymen whose specialty was preying on people in transit, and they were illiterate. And there we saw again today in Brussels how these sub-civilized barbaric Muslims target an airport and a subway station, both termini for a people in transit. The Muslims who lived along the north coast of Africa were known as pirates because they preyed exclusively on civilian commercial vessels in the name of the jihad. Once aboard the captured vessel, they looted everything not nailed down. The crew did, that is. The ship and the cargo was for the captain and the authorities of the ruling junta, who took a percentage. The Barbary pirates were not pirates, but the official sanctioned navies of these powers. And their livelihood at sea paralleled what their Muslim brothers were doing on land, in the Middle East, preying upon pilgrims and commerce caravans crossing their deserts. The Barbary pirates were doing the same thing, only at sea. And their targets were also people in transit, when people are most defenseless and vulnerable. 9/11, before it was a mass murder, was a form of piracy. Anyway, the Ibn Ezra may have been persuaded to think along these lines when thinking about the Arabs, who were still illiterates, even after almost 2,000 years of Jews reading the five books. God gave them to Moses and the sons of Israel in the year 1313 BCE. Muhammad began his career in the year 622 CE. And the Quran was the Arabs' first book, so 1,937 years passed from the time the Jews began reading and living by their first book and when the Arabs got theirs. Ibn Ezra may have puzzled over how the Arabs turned the Hebrew letter sin into sheen, and vice versa. For example, we say shalom, and they say salam. We say si'ah, the Hebrew word for faction, and they say shi'ah. That's the origin of the Muslim sect, whose name literally means faction. That part of the Muslim ummah, the people that broke away and fights the original group for power. Sunni and Shia have been murdering one another spasmodically over 14 centuries. It's a way of life between them. And there's another example of the speech and brain defect of the Arabs messing up sin and shin. We say si'a and they say shi'a. Kind of an eternal lisp. Anyway, what caught my attention this day, following the latest horror in Belgium, in Brussels, in the same city where 2 years ago a Muslim shot up the Jewish Museum and murdered, I think, four, what caught my attention was really nothing said by all the commentators and politicians and journalists, but what was not said. The security and foreign policy experts spoke of intelligence gathering and resources and tougher immigration controls, etc., to deal with this problem, but not said at all was the word Islam. The religion itself, unmodified by such words as radical or extremist. Ted Cruz and John Kasich shook his finger at radical Islam. And I heard others talking about extremist Islam or extremist terrorists. the Muslim secret agent in the Oval Office at the moment in Havana, Cuba, posing under a portrait of Che Guevara, performed as usual. He said, quote, "We must be together regardless of nationality or race or faith against the scourge of terrorism." Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, the scourge. The enemy is terrorism, which, of course, has no known land-based center to attack. It has no army. It has no navy. It has no language associated with it, no religion. I ask, where can we find this enemy called terrorism in order to destroy this enemy? This is a variation on Obama's statement after Fort Hood, when he said that Islam had nothing to do with that massacre. And here from Havana, Barack Hussein, named for the second Shahid, the second martyr in Islam, godfather of the Shiites, said that regardless of nationality or faith, in other words, pay no attention to the language spoken by the angels of hell today in Brussels. Pay no attention to the words they reported to have shouted in their last ecstatic moments in this life. Allahu Akbar. Pay no attention. The President of the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen, has once again told people to look away and not to identify the horror with any particular nationality, like the Arab nation, or particular faith community, like Islam. Islam had nothing to do with this. Obama said that after Fort Hood, and he has done it again in a different style. In fairness, though, he's not alone. As I say, all day we heard of the terror threats that Belgian intelligence had been given, but did not act upon, how the Paris mastermind was able to live for 4 months in his Muslim neighborhood in Brussels with surely a support team, and the omerta, the silence in the neighborhood about ratting on him to the police. We heard about the operational realities, but not one word from any politician or area expert who said the real problem is, the bottom line is, Islam. Not radical Islam, not extremist Islam, but just Islam, the religion. In its roots, the word radical comes from the Latin word for root. So a radical Muslim is not unrepresentative of Muslims, but the opposite. He's the most rooted in the spirit of Islam. The fact that the overwhelming majority of Muslims are not violent, like these jihadis, these horny suicide boys looking to score with a captive harem of virgins they can violently deflower for all eternity, that's due to their indolence. The masses are lazy. They're not that enthusiastic. The majority of Muslims are not themselves violent, yes, but the same majority applauds those who are. That is what the villain Obama did when he toppled Mubarak, and the semi-literate Egyptians went to the polls and they elected the Muslim Brotherhood. Makes perfect sense. As in 2006, here, when the Arabs went to the polls, Hamas swamped the secular Fatah cult, allegedly secular. I said before that what was not said today was most interesting. What did not come from the mouths and the minds of the usual politicians and journalists and experts in the MSM was also the silence out of Arabian Islam. Ask yourself, when was the last time I heard the King of Saudi Arabia, whose official title is Guardian of the Two Mosques, the one in Mecca and the one in Medina, home country of Islam, when did I ever hear him say after such a horror, "This is not Islam and I do not approve"? The correct answer is you've never heard this. Saudi Arabia has a hierarchy of priests, and surely the top guy has never been denouncing this evil. We never hear either from the civil dictators in the Muslim states. Where's Erdogan in Turkey speaking out against what just happened in Brussels? Where are the kings of Morocco and Jordan protesting these alleged outliers who do not represent the true Islam? And because of this silence, the West, the rotting liberal democracies of the West, have never been able to properly name the adversary. You know, in World War II, the West fought the Japs and the Krauts, Japan and Germany, whose countries were targets. I ask, how do you target terrorism? We heard today it's a world war, it's World War III, but who are the countries at war? For sure, we heard people saying the West is under attack. But the enemy was never identified, not really. Most commonly, like Obama, even Republicans spoke of the war on terrorism and what to do about it. And Ted Cruz, as I say, spoke of radical Islam, as did Kasich. At first he spoke the truth, you know, but then made a U-turn in mid-sentence. Listen carefully what the governor of Ohio said, quote, "We've really been at war with Islam for a long time now, radical Islam. Not with Islam, but radical Islam," close quote. When I say it is impossible to make war against terrorism, and not even radical Islam, whatever that is, where are its targets, its military bases, its capital, its ports, its weapons factories? Where is this place called terrorism? Where is this place called radical Islam? In truth, Kasich and Cruz spoke the contemporary mantra. It's an across-the-board phenomenon. Kasich at first referred to Islam being at war with the West, but then walked it back immediately, and all in the same sentence.
לכל דבר בעולם יש קצב משלו, לכל דבר יש קצב בתוכו. ריבון העולמים, אתה הקצב של החיים, אתה עושה כל דבר בעיתו. יש קצב שבו צומחות השיניים, וקצב שניפלו יום אחד. יש קצב שבו נפתחים השמיים, וחשבת שאתה לבד. יש קצב שבו קופצים למים, וקצב שבו מתייבשים. יש קצב שבו מרימים ידיים אל השמיים ומבקשים. ויש לפעמים ומחכים. יש קצב בו בתשובה, יש קצב בו מכירים, נפרדים ושוב נפגשים. חפשים שמות לילדים. לכל דבר בעולם יש קצב משלו, לכל דבר יש קצב בתוכו. ריבון העולמים, אתה הקצב של החיים, אתה עושה כל דבר בעיתו. יש קצב שבו יצאנו אל הדרך, וקצב שבו חזרנו עייפים. חיפשנו את הסוד, את המשל בחיים, מצאנו את הדברים הפשוטים. יש קצב שבו יצאנו לגלות, יש קצב בו אנו חוזרים. יש לי דמעות, אני חושב, חזרנו אחד מעיר, שניים מכפר, על חמורים בלילה בין הערים. קצב בו נשקתי את הספר, את ידיו של הזקן החכם. את בני וכיסיתי בשמיכה שיהיה לו חם, הוא קורא לך שוב אבל נרדם. לכל דבר בעולם יש קצב משלו, לכל דבר יש קצב בתוכו. ריבון העולמים, אתה הקצב של החיים, אתה עושה כל דבר בעיתו. אתה עושה כל דבר בעיתו.
Yeah, the comments today by politicians and pundits were most interesting for their silence about what I believe is the true enemy. Not terrorism, which is a tactic, but the ideology behind the tactic. Kasich was right to say that, quote, this is a war directed against the West and all of civilized society, but he still doesn't go far enough. He's not alone in this, he said, rightly. Obviously, the intelligence community is behind the eight ball and needs to be rebuilt immediately, but here again, we're back to operational issues. Without a name for this enemy and the ideology he believes in. And never mind that the enemy does not shy from speaking his ideology. It's no mystery. After today's horror, ISIS tweeted, quote, Brussels, if you continue your war against the religion of Allah, then this is our response, close quote. The elephant in the room of Western civilization these days is Islam, original, authentic Islam, and it doesn't belong in the West, and never should any Muslim have been allowed to build a mosque in the West. Trouble is, the West shot itself in the foot by allowing immigration from Islam to fill the lowest jobs in society. Israel, as well, is guilty of this. The Torah of Sinai is explicit in the command to make no deals with the inhabitants of Canaan that the people of Israel, the children of Israel, would find when they arrived. The command was to drive them out, as Ishmael was driven out. The West, Europe, they let these people in, and then by their own civilized notion of freedom of religion, let them build their mosques. I believe Europe has the power to save itself, but not the spirit. The U.S., by contrast, Australia too, Canada, Eastern Europe, are not yet lost and can save themselves if they clear their minds of cliches about the three great monotheistic religions, the three great Abrahamic religions. Sorry, in the West, in all the liberal democracies, they are the product of Judeo-Christian civilization, and one can find in them a coat of religion of many colors, Buddhists and Hindus and Sikhs and Baha'i, Jains, etc., and that's just great. But Islam is different. Islam is the exception to the generality that tolerates a panoply of religions in society because they're mostly benign in their behavior, and there can be no restrictions on a person's deepest beliefs in life, about life. But again, Islam is the exception. And the West has to get over its narcissistic addiction to the untruth that all religions are of equal worth. When the British ruled India, they were confronted by the common Hindu practice at the time of sati, by which the surviving widow of a dead man, husband, whose corpse is about to be burnt, must lie down next to him and be burnt to death with him. The Brits, when they were still Christians, couldn't tolerate that and set out to put a stop to it. They also warred against the Thuggee sect, whence the English word thug, and defeated those homicidal religious maniacs, too. Check out Gunga Din, one of the great Hollywood movies, with Cary Grant. What the West has lost is the sensibility of one of its greatest people ever, Winston Churchill, who wrote two books about fighting Muslims, and he suffered no restraint in describing Islam as an abomination of a culture. The West has lost that ability, and that is a major obstacle to thinking clearly about ISIS and their horrors, which are just the same as the PLO's horrors in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. The PLO as well. Arabs, the offspring of outlaw desert robbers, attacked air terminals and hijacked airplanes and killed people at ticket counters in airports. Today, it was the arrivals hall at that airport in Brussels, where there is no security check to match the boarding security check that passengers have to go through. And it was at the arrivals area as well at Lud Airport in 1972, when three Japanese communist terrorists hired by the PFLP struck and massacred arriving passengers using machine guns and hand grenades. In this sense, the horror today at that airport in Belgium was nothing new.
Elokai,
הסוף הוא רק ההתחלה של כל תפילה ומחילה גם אם כבדה ואם קלה בסוף זה רק הסוף הזה אלוקיי דף חלק ונקי ראו עיניי אז יצרת והנחת אלוקיי היה שם את הדיו הזה ציירתי איך אצא מזה ומה זה הציור הזה זה לא דומה לי לא אני יש לי את הדרך יש ריח יש טעם יש לי את הדרך
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, the reactions of major players today were interesting and revealing. Not only is Hillary Clinton a criminal for breach of security regulations in the matter of handing classified materials, a felony, not only has she been infamous in her adult career as a liar over decades, her response today reveals her perfect incompetence as the leader of a nation confronted by this menace. Here's what she said, quote, "The idea that terrorists are continuing to strike at the heart of Europe and now Brussels, and the number of casualties from what looked to be a fairly sophisticated coordinated attack is deeply distressing. We've got to stand in solidarity with our European allies. As they have stood with us on so many occasions, we have to intensify our efforts to find and prevent terrorists from ever doing this again. It's going to be a long challenge because of a lot of factors, including the easy accessibility to powerful explosives and the mobility of terrorists in today's world, but we've got to be absolutely strong and smart and steady in how we respond," close quote. To quote Gertrude Stein, there's no there there. First, she tells us it's distressing that these things are happening still in Europe, and we have to intensify our efforts to find and prevent terrorists from ever doing this again. I've said it before, this woman has never had an original thought and seems to think one problem here is the easy accessibility of powerful explosives. What is she suggesting? We have to find a way to make powerful explosives less accessible? That's the problem. But again, in her defense, like everybody else, not a word, not a peep about Islam as the root cause of this cancer on civilization. About the only bright spot this week in the matter of homicidal Muslim maniacs was news here that last Sunday the Ministerial Committee for Legislation was to discuss new legislation calling for the death penalty for terrorists. Absolutely. It's part of the rot in Western civilization that as the culture has lost the ability to speak plainly about the barbarism of Islam, the conventional wisdom is that the death penalty is itself a primitive punishment. If it's wrong to kill, it's wrong to kill. No, admittedly, it's a bit paradoxical, but the proper response to the criminal death of an innocent by an evil murderer who has unjustly taken his victim's life, his punishment must be the loss of his life. And society as a whole must execute that punishment via its instruments of law and order. Murder is the ultimate crime that requires the ultimate punishment. So I hope the government succeeds in legislating the death penalty for terrorists whose sentences should be carried out as soon as possible after the crime. I hope Netanyahu agrees and fights for this law, for this return to morality in Israeli jurisprudence, or more accurately, death penalty that Israel never had. There's nothing to return to. And speaking of Netanyahu, he today by satellite told the AIPAC conference in Washington that he hoped the U.S. would continue to reject any move towards a U.N. Security Council resolution backing statehood for the Palestinians, close quote. And I say this is not a good sign. It suggests his sources have said the Muslim anti-Semite in the Oval Office is still thinking in those terms. Bibi surely knows that these AIPAC conferences include sending participants to meet with their representatives in Congress and make known their desires. They're doing little non-paid lobbying for Israel. It sounds like Bibi was telling them, please, bring this up with your congressman and or senator. The people of Israel, they might say, are afraid of what this anti-Jew wants to do to us before he leaves office. And by implication, these AIPAC attendees are requested to ask their congressmen to do what they can to stop him.
מנוחה ושמחה אור ליהודים יום שבתון יום מחמדים שומרה וזוכרה והם המעידים כי לשישה כל ברויים ועומדים שמי שמיים ארץ וימים כל צבא מרום גבוהים ורמים תנין ואדם וחיית רעמים כי בקהשם צור עולמים אשר דיבר לעם סגולתו שמור לקדשו מבו ועצתו שבת קודש יום חמדתו כי הוא השבת כל מכל מלאכתו במצוות שבת כל יחליצך קום קרא אליו קום קרא אליו קום קרא אליו יחיש לאמצך נשמת כל חי וגם נעריצך אכול בשמחה אכול, בשמחה אכול, בשמחה כי כבר רצה. במשנה לחם וקידוש רבה ברוב מטעמים ורוח נדיבה יזכו לרבתו המתענגים בה בביאת גואל, בביאת גואל לחיי העולם הבא.
And lastly, some good news and some bad. Defense Minister Yaron addressed high school students at Kfar Blum yesterday and told them that as chief of staff in 2004, when Breaking the Silence was formed, he understood they were making charges against IDF soldiers, but refused to name the soldiers making these allegations to the chief of staff and his unit. They were spreading the accusations abroad without doing that. He understood that they were up to no good. For sure, the army has zero interest in soldiers abusing people and has a record of punishing soldiers who do. The right thing to do was to inform the army of these charges, not leave the country to slander the IDF with these anonymous accusations. These are not good people. And the bad news is that the new Attorney General, Mandelblit, from the National Religious Camp, a career officer in the army, has said that Jews from using kosher mikvahs for their ceremonies would be unconstitutional. And never mind that Israel has no constitution. Rather, whenever an Israeli official talks like this, you know it's taurine excreta. I suspect he was influenced by Netanyahu, who doesn't want to see this legislation. These reform activists are a pain in the neck. Anyway, it's time for my annual break. As usual, I'll be gone for four Sabbaths. I'll be speaking in Passaic, New Jersey on April 2nd at Tiferet Yisrael. On April 12th in the afternoon, I'll be speaking at the Yeshiva High School in San Diego. And in the evening for the ZOA at the Chabad house there so far. So Purim Sameach, happy Purim, and the next webcast probably will be in the middle of Chol HaMoed Pesach, the week after the Passover Seder. Until then, replays of 11 of last year's webcasts will be posted in my absence. So, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach, Eretz Yisrael.